Michael O'Regan's Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today.
Michael, it's been too long. We've missed you.
Thank you, Tressa, and I've missed you and our listeners. Little did we know, Tressa, when I signed up for Gerry O'Sullivan, when the Dáil went on holidays, that so much would happen. A new Prime Minister in Britain, a minister sacked here. Garth Brooks had his pint in Dick Max. And by the way, Tressa, let us, I can tell you, I know a lot of people know already that Sam Maguire made a brief return to Dublin, to the Kerry Association in Dublin dinner. The man entrusted with it. Now, there was tight security, Tressa, when he crossed the county bounds in Dublin, because you never know with the Dubs, they might look for it back. Tom Keane of the Kerry County Board brought the trophy, made a very good speech. Thanks to the county board, by the way. Good speeches from Patricia Keane, Kerry Person of the Year. Councillor Jimmy Maloney on behalf of the Stole Tidy Towns. Great speech from the great Keelan Cassan from Liz Elton, the dynamic chairperson of the association, who has led the revival of the association, really, post-COVID. And a surprise birthday cake for a great writer from North Kerry, Father Anthony Gahan. So it was great to see Sam in Dublin, but Tressa, in the interests of security and not trusting the Dubs, we didn't keep him long.
No. And in fact, Sam was here in Radio Kerry studios in Tralee yesterday.
I saw that indeed, yeah. He's doing the rounds. A neighbour of mine, friend of mine here in Dublin, said to me the other day, "You're really milking it dry, aren't you, Kerry crowd, with Sam?" I said, 8 years is a long, long separation.
And Michael, I always wonder when Sam pays his visits, like the organisations or the people who are benefiting from the visit of the Sam Maguire, do they ever get worried about Sam going missing? Is there that stress? Were you worried at all about that?
Well, when you think about it, Tressa, I mean, and this is why...
Because it has happened, prestigious GA trophies going astray in the past.
Absolutely, it has happened, but I think Tom Keane had a security network around the hotel, you know, and we were very conscious of it as well. I can't explain, I suppose people listening this morning would understand this, but I can't explain the boost... It gave the function, the Kerry Association dinner, which had to be postponed, by the way, more than 2 years ago because of COVID. We'd hotel booked, everything was planned. We announced the winners, and Joe McGill, and our thanks to Joe for all the publicity, Joe McGill's programme on a Saturday morning, everything was prepared. But get the cup in Dublin. I really can't emphasise the boost it gave to the function. And, of course, the queue to get your photograph taken with Sam Maguire. I mean... If things are going like this, you know, he might even stand in whatever the revised Kerry constituency might be. And we know the new constituencies next year.
And the queue wasn't quite as long as the queue to pay respects to the Queen at the present, but it was quite long as well, I'd say.
It was extremely long. I mean, as soon as Tom arrived at the cup, before the function, there were obviously people who wanted to have their photographs taken. And then... We decided to give it its maximum entry into the function hall. When everybody was sitting down to the dinner, it was my great honour to welcome Tom and the cup. And there was a roll of drums from the band. So Sam was in the hall, centre stage, special guest. And later on, we all got our photographs taken individually and collectively with Sam Maguire. And we really are grateful to the Kerry County Board and to Tom for bringing the cup to Dublin. And thankfully, I'm glad you said now, Tressa, it was in the Radio Kerry Sports Department yesterday. Means it got back safely.
Michael, thank you for that. Well, well said. Michael, could I start with this? It's been reported today that Education Minister Norma Foley, our Kerry Fianna Fáil TD, was accused yesterday in the Dáil of being in hiding while the school transport system is an utter mess. And that's according to Sinn Féin's defence spokesperson, Circa Clark, who made the charges against the Education Minister during the leader's question yesterday. And this all goes back to the announcement in July when Norma Foley said that families that receive a school transport ticket for this school year won't be charged a fee, and obviously it led to a deluge of applications for the tickets.
Yeah, I think this was inevitable. You know, this was going to happen because there would be a huge increase in people looking for tickets, and probably wasn't anticipated enough. You have to plan ahead for these things. And I think Norma Foley, now I may have missed it, but she has to come out either in the Dáil next week now or in the media and discuss this and debate it and explain it, because it's of huge importance to people. There's inevitably panic among parents and children, particularly those travelling, you know, a fairly significant distance to schools. And makes one wonder as well, of course, Tracy, what happened all those years ago to Donal O'Malley's announcement of free education and free transport for school children. But there you are, that was 1966. It was to be expanded. The idea at the time was that it would be expanded, you know, right across the board to all school children eventually. That was the hope. But certainly, this is a crisis, particularly obviously in rural Ireland, and must be met head on by the Minister.
And Tánaiste Sealaí of Radcar said in response to Circa Clark of Sinn Féin, he said that it wasn't fair to say that Norma Foley hadn't provided extra capacity and that 124,000 tickets had been issued as of this month. And that was an increase of 21,000 compared to last year. But as you said, Michael, there needs to be clarity on the logistics, how much planning had gone into this.
Absolutely, Tracy. I mean, that the increase of that level was as clear as night following day. You know, this was going to happen. I mean, this was inevitable. So what you do is you plan for it. You don't wait for it to happen and then put your hands up in the air and say, oh, my God, look at the increase in numbers, when that increase was inevitable. But I think it's always advised. I don't know what the minister's schedule is, but in fairness, but I think it's always very, very wise. When a controversy arrives on a minister's desk, particularly in education or the health or financial area, indeed any area really, it's best to deal with it by way of a doorstep press event or even a press conference. Preferably come into the Dáil and take special notice questions on it. And, you know, let it be debated in the Dáil. And when you do that as a politician, to an extent you take the steam out of it. But if there's a vacuum where there's no response, no official response, then the controversy, the crisis for the minister worsens.
Michael, when we return, we will be talking about that dreaded phrase of du jour, the cost of living crisis, and of course, plans for the budget, which will take place on September 27th.
Kerry Today on Radio Kerry.
For food and family fun.
Michael O'Regan's Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today.
Michael, the budget on September 27th will be very consequential.
Hugely consequential, Tracy. Probably the most important budget in many ways in years. Now, every budget is important. But because of a few factors, the cost of living crisis, and it is a crisis, the escalation in energy prices, housing is still there. I mean, your own interview earlier in the programme showed just how bleak the housing situation is. At the health services, so Pascal Donohoe and Michael McGrath will have to get it right. Now, we're promised pretty well a bonanza. There's $3.3 billion there in extra taxation. Warnings, of course, inevitably from financial groups about, you know, spending too much money. I see the Fiscal Advisory Council warns that a delicate balancing act is required from the ministers. Now, I think we know that. But there'll be a substantial payment, probably the first of a number, it now seems, to help people meet energy bills. The challenge for the government here, Tracy, is that this is not going to all end on the evening of the budget. You know, these bills will be still at an alarmingly high rate come the spring, into the winter, onto next spring. And the government may have to intervene again. Now, Pascal Dunne has said that, that there will be planning for that. Talk of a 15 euro across the board increase in social welfare payments. That of course, will be considerably more than the traditional 5 euro of recent years. Now, it's coming at a time when the cost of one's you know, filling your car with petrol, or else going into the supermarket for a basket of groceries, prices have increased. But it's a delicate balancing act. We have the usual, of course, the government introduce it. The opposition will criticise it. That's the way it goes. But the average Irish person would be looking at it to ease the burden of a fairly escalating cost of living crisis.
Now, the government is to opt for energy credits to help homes with electricity and energy bills. Sinn Féin are saying a cap must be applied to electricity bills. The same policy that's being adopted by the new Prime Minister in the UK, the Conservative Liz Truss, interestingly.
That's right. Now, Liz Truss is going to have to borrow a lot of money to do that. And we've had our own problems before when we borrowed money and interest rates, at high interest rates. But
where would you stand on the cap or credit debate? What do you think, Michael?
I'm inclined, in an ideal world, Tracy, you could go for a cap. But I'm not too sure it's the best way of going about it. I think the situation should be monitored by the government and make intermittent payments. And let's put it this way. They have to meet the energy costs in the budget, right? But they could well have the same problem come, you know, January or before January, where they have to move again on this. An interesting thing about this, by the way, is I noticed that for the first 6 months of this year, the ESB group, they made a profit of 357 million. Now, that's an astonishing figure. And we all know, you know, you have to make it commercially if you're the ESB group. But 357 million at a time when, they're putting up prices. There's something wrong there.
Now, Michael, it's being reported that Micheál Martin, the leader of Fianna Fáil and the Taoiseach, says he's open to the return of his predecessor, Bertie Ahern, to the Fianna Fáil party. Obviously, Bertie Ahern is a very divisive figure in Irish politics, obviously rightly hailed for his work in helping to bring about peace and securing the Good Friday Agreement in the north. But on the other hand, his role in the economic collapse of this country in 2007, 2008 cannot be overlooked either. Dennis in Clarny, who says he's an ex-Fianna Fáil member, says that man brought in the IMF, Bertie Ahern crippled this country, being brought back into Fianna Fáil, my God, they have short memories.
You see, that's going to be part of the reaction to what's happening. But I think we have to put it in context here, Tessa. I've seen a fairly strong anti-Bertie move on social media, but some people think he's being brought back to be a Taoiseach, or that he's being brought back to be the next president. He's not. What's happening is this. The most that will happen, by the way, and Micheál Martin, who's obviously reading the mood of the Fianna Fáil grassroots, I'm sure he had Sean Dargan, General Secretary, working the phones on this. Micheál Martin has said he's open to readmitting him as a member. Hence, Bertie Ahern will pay his dues, pay his fee, whatever it is, to rejoin Fianna Fáil, sign a form, and he'll be reinstated as a member, probably in a common income condo somewhere in North Dublin. That's it. He'll be able to go to an Ardesh, you know, mingle in a hall with delegates and all that. I think one of the reasons why Fianna Fáil might be happier, some in Fianna Fáil might be happier if he is back, you're going to have a situation next year where you'll have the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. Now, a great time, a great moment to celebrate, worthy of celebration. Now, he was key to that. There's no denying that. He was a key player. In fact, he was outstanding. Also, Micheál Martin has made it clear that he is relying from time to time on his advice on the North, which is understandable. So if he was still to be outside the party next year, it would look very, very odd indeed. I mean, if Fianna Fáil has some kind of celebration, or indeed the government has some kind of celebration, Bertie has to be invited, you know, in fairness. But it's interesting about what your caller said there about, the decline, the collapse of the economy and that. I can recall that when the controversy about Bertie's personal finances, which got him into a lot of trouble, was at their height, an opinion poll showed him with a very high rating still because the economy was going well. But when the economy started to collapse, Bertie's rating plummeted.
And Michael, I'd love to talk more about this. Unfortunately, we are out of time, but there'll be plenty more to discuss next week on Call from the Dáil. Michael O'Regan, thank you for joining us.